We've been talking pretty conceptually, but I wonder if you could talk a bit about a real-life example of practice improvement, something perhaps from your own work.
This is where I think my personal experience getting burnt out and my life's mission since finally came into fruition. In March, and I'm sitting here in Georgia, WellStar Health System is in Georgia, so at the time when I was working for WellStar, we had watched what happened in New York and New Jersey, and we knew it was coming, and it finally came to us in March with COVID. And we went from having virtually no telemedicine across our 260-plus clinics to needing to just light switch it on. And guess what? We went from 0 to 50,000 delivered virtual visits in 6 weeks.
That is a short period of time!
Right. But you asked, I mean, it's always about the how, right? I feel like right now I'm standing on stage and I'm telling you, hey, we're the best. And your real question is, but how did you do it? And
yes,
it comes down to really thinking about what drives burnout. So we made it as simple as possible. What I did was I spent hours and hours with our revenue cycle folks and our regulatory folks, because what doctors need is something very simple. If you're doing a video visit, how do you do it? What's the technology? What do you have to document in your note? And what do you have to drop so that you actually get reimbursed for it? Like, what's the billing code? That's all you need. And so what we did is we made a 3x3 table, and it was deceptively simple, but that was it. We actually were able to allow doctors to just do their job. Now think about this. My timeline before COVID was optimistically that we would deploy telemedicine to all of our clinics over a 2-year period. And we were able to do it in less than 6 weeks.
But wasn't this one more new thing? Like, how did you avoid process overload when there's already so much paperwork doctors go through? What was your secret in protecting doctors from superfluous layers?
The secret sauce was we employed the tactics of well-being, and that's how we were successful. Was it clunky and was it not ideal? Yes, of course. We didn't put out something beautiful. We really had a minimum viable product. But what we did do was actually implement something with the ideals and the framework of well-being. So let's take all four. The four drivers of burnout. We thought about all four and we tried to address all four when we rolled out this thing literally overnight. I believe it was March 18th when the regulatory bodies stemming from the federal government said, you can use FaceTime or Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp video. And not only that, so you're allowed to use non-secure video platforms, because that was a big barrier. And the second thing they said is, and we're going to pay you to do video visits. When they said those two things, we finally were in the field able to do what we've always wanted to do. And it came at the perfect time because we had to close our clinics since everyone was afraid of transmitting COVID to patients and or getting sick themselves and not being able to serve their patients, right?
Sure.
So that's kind of the setting. But what actually happened? So the first thing I thought about is, well, how do we deliver quality care? What we did is we said, you can use, and we gave them the entire list. You can use all of them. So first we gave them the leeway to do the best quality care they could by saying, use them all. And here are tip sheets on three of them. We're going to keep coming up with more tip sheets. That's the iterative process. Then the second thing was try and minimize inefficiency, right? Because we know that if you're inefficient, you're going to burn out. So with minimizing the inefficiency, we created that 3x3 table of type of visit. Was it video or telephone, or was it asynchronous, which is basically like texting your doctor a picture of your face because you have some weird dermatological thing, right? So we said, what type of virtual visit is it? What do you need to put in your documentation? And what is the billing code? And by giving them that table, doctors became extremely efficient, right? So then the next thing was recognize good works. We actually had a weekly doctor-wide or clinician-wide call. So that included basically anyone that wanted to, but we're really targeting doctors, nurse practitioners, and PAs. And we would highlight the superstars. Every day I would look at the data, and one day I saw someone do like 30 video visits in a day. And I'm telling you, we did not give good technology. In fact, everyone was trying to buy up iPads. So it's not like my hospital had the ability to jump the line and get iPads from the supplier, right?
Yeah.
So we basically gave no technology out. We said, go and do this. And oh yeah, here's a 3x3 table of how to bill for it. And someone did 30 visits in like the second day. I mean, it was miraculous. So we actually acknowledged the good works people were doing as many times as we could. And so that was, you know, the recognition of good works. And then the fourth one was input. And not only were we getting weekly input from these system calls where you had me and the other senior doctors in the hot seat where anyone could ask us any question. And we had, I think, at our max, you know, like 400 doctors dial in, which is impressive.
That's
'cause doctors work 24/7. Yeah. Or at least 300, if I recall. We also had set up different ways for doctors to give input. I would do the speaking circuit. I would jump on the primary care doctor's call on Monday, the neurologist's call on Tuesday, and I kept doing my rounds to say, here are the new things and what do you need me to work on? And so that is directly allowing several venues to give input. So thinking about the four things that drive burnout and using that upfront as we tried to implement, I really think that led us to go from 0 to 50,000 visits in 6 weeks.